Lohengram was a dapper little gentleman in court dress, with a thin, impassive face and a bird-like eye. He greeted me in French, which I learned later was spoken a good deal out of deference to Lola's bad German, and led us upstairs past more lackeys and sentries to an ante-room full of pictures and people. I have a soldier's eye for such things, and I would say the loot value of that chamber would have kept a regiment for life, with a farm for the farrier sergeant thrown in. The walls appeared to be made of striped silk, and there was enough gold on the frames to start a mint. The folk, too, were a prosperous-looking crew, courtly civilians and military, all in the colours of the rainbow. Some damned handsome women among them. They stopped their chattering as we entered, and I took advantage of my extra 3 inches on Starnberg to make a chest, touch my moustache, and give them all a cool look-over. He had barely started to introduce me to those nearest when a door at the far end of the room opened, and a little chap came up backwards, stumbling over his feet and protesting violently. "It is no use, madame," cries he to someone in the far room. "I have not the power. The vicar-general will not permit. Ach, no, lieber Herrgott." He cowered back as some piece of crockery sailed past him and shattered on the marble floor. And then Lola herself appeared in the doorway, and my heart took a bound at the sight of her. She was beautiful in her royal rage, just as I remembered, although now she had clothes on. And although her aim seemed as vague as ever, she appeared to have her wrath under better control these days. At all events, she didn't scream.
"You may tell Dr. Windischmann," says she, her rich, husky voice charged with contempt, "that if the king's best friend desires a private chapel and confessor, she shall have one, and he shall provide it if he values his office. Does he think he can defy me?"
"Oh, madame, please," cries the little chap. "Only be reasonable. There's not a priest in Germany could accept such a confession. After all, your highness is a Lutheran and—"
"Lutheran fiddlesticks! I'm a royal favourite, you mean. That's why your master has the impertinence to flout me. Let him be careful. And you too, little man. Lutheran or not, favourite or not, if I choose to have a chapel of my own, I shall have it. Do you hear? And the vicar-general himself shall hear me confession if I think fit.
Please, madame, oh, please!"
The little fellow was on the verge of tears.
"Why do you abuse me so? It is not my fault. Dr. Windischmann objects only to the suggestion of a private chapel and confessor. He says—"
"Well, what does he say?"
The little man hesitated.
"He says—" he gulped. "He says that there is a public confessional at Notre Dame, and you can always go there when you want to accuse yourself of any of the innumerable sins you have committed."
His voice went up to a squeal.
"His words, madame, not mine. Oh, God, have mercy!"